I desire your prayers this afternoon. I have a subject that I'd like to share with you that the Lord has been dealing with me about. In this songbook that we have, I remember years ago hearing it said there's a message in every song. And there surely is. But I've also come to realize that there's also, these songs are somebody's testimony. That this is my experience with this subject, and I'm sharing that with others. There are some songs in here that is a real high testimony. When I look at those songs, some of those, I have to say, instead of that being my testimony, that's my prayer. Lord, I'd like to be able to get there, but I'm not quite there. Let me give you one of them to start us this evening. Number 66. When I sing this song, now this person had a testimony right here. It says, I know trouble and no sorrow. See today, nor will I borrow gloomy visions for the morrow. In my Jesus, all is bright. Now, I'd like to have that for my testimony. I hope to achieve there sometime. But he goes on to say, glory to my Savior's name, walking on his holy plain. Nothing can my peace disturb, free and happy as a bird, singing joyful praise evermore. Now, I don't believe this person wrote higher than they were living, but I'd like to say I have some room to grow. There are some other songs, and there's one that I would like for us to look at this afternoon. It was another person's testimony about that subject and what it did for them. A verse of that song is, O make thy blessed abode with me, thou angel of the skies. If I may ever dwell with thee, my soul shall never die. Now, I'd like to have some of that. That sounds good. I don't want my soul to ever die. What was that subject that they were talking about? Humility. If I can ever get to that place, to the testimony that they were given, this is a wonderful place. I want to testify to you of this wonderful place. Well, this is another one that that's my prayer. I'd like to be able to get there. If we could look for a minute at song number 201, this was their testimony about this subject. Humility, thou secret veil, unknown to proud in heart, where showers of blessing never fail and glories ne'er depart. Humility, how pure thy place, thou seat of holiness, thou door of entrance into grace and everlasting bliss. Humility, how calm the breast that knows thy peace sublime. Within thy courts our perfect rest grows sweeter all the time. Humility, thou shoreless sea of perfect love so deep, thy crystal water covers me, my helpless soul to keep. O make thy blessed abode with me, thou angel of the skies. If I may ever dwell with thee, my soul shall never die. As I thought of this subject and this person's testimony in writing that song, to each one of us here today and to me, if I were to write a song to tell you my experiences when I have come to a place that I needed humility in the past, what would it sound like? Would it sound like, these are some of the most terrible times in my life? There is a scripture that says, thou hast caused men to ride over my head. Now, this songwriter said that's a blessed place to be in because it brings me into humility. What would be my testimony from past experiences of places of humility? Now, this is a tricky subject because as sure as I would tell you I've got a load of this, I don't have it at all. Because humility is something where I just desire to have, I realize, I see places where I need more of it in my life. If I ever come to the place that I feel like I've attained, I just lost it. So I want it in my life. And I looked at a definition. It says freedom from pride and arrogance and humbleness of mind. It's a modest estimate of one's own worth, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. You know, we're living in a time where I need to be reminded of this occasionally. Because we're in a world that tells you this is kind of graduation season in May, where a lot of students are graduating, and I can understand how they feel if fits in a step out into life, they need a little boost. But a lot of times the instruction given to them is, don't let nothing stop you. The star is the limit. You can have whatever you want. But you know, right along with that, I need to realize who I am. Because if I ever lose who I am, I get myself into trouble. And there are some scriptures that I'd like to share this afternoon. And maybe you would have some that I miss that you'd want to share at the end of this. Because God has a special concern about this area for my life. If I may ever dwell with thee, my soul shall never die. I could flip that equation around. If I don't get a hold to you, I'm not going to be able to make it in the end, because I have to humble myself. I got to humble myself at the very beginning to ever get salvation itself. And I've got to be able to carry it throughout my life. So, do I need, who am I? Where am I? Let's take a look at Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Well, that seems like that just kind of leaves it open. Don't think more highly than you ought to think. Well, that seems to leave it kind of open that if I ought to think I'm pretty high, then I can. No, what he says do then is realize how high I ought to think. And you know, we were given instruction way back at the beginning of the Bible to give us instruction how high we ought to think. I was thinking about Adam. God told him, from dust thou art. Adam, remember where you came from. You take a little pile of dust, and if God had blown on it instead of breathing on it, there wouldn't have been nothing left. But instead, he breathed into it life. There was nothing that we could do about where we came from. And then he says, dust thou art. And for all the things I can accomplish through life, it's to dust that I'm going to return again. When I really get a hold of that in my life, it will humble me. I will stay humble. I will realize, who am I? Because I'm going back to dust. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit's going to return to God who gave it. In Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, we heard this morning about being deceived. This one says, when I think I'm something, when I'm really nothing, and that's really what I am, I deceive myself. There's a song that we sing sometimes. We've heard it sung as a special. When compared to God, everything's small. And usually, and I like that song because it's, I'm having trials, I'm having things happen in my life, and they all pale in comparison to God. But with the subject that we have this afternoon, I'd like for us to realize, you know what, when compared to God, I'm pretty small. I have nothing to be able to offer him. And I'm given instruction by Jesus himself, for without me, you can do nothing. You'll not be able to accomplish anything that'll have eternal value without the help of the Lord. But there is some instruction right here. Because I want to ask you, is an inferiority complex the same as humility? Can I say that's humility? I don't know what happened to me. You know, sometimes if I had gone to a psychiatrist, he'd probably try to figure out my grandpa had some problems and he passed it down to me. But something, I don't know, something happened in my life that even for the size I was, I had an inferiority complex that was terrible. When I went to apply for a job, I got out of high school. And, you know, you need to have some drive to you to, you know, I was willing to work if somebody would give me a job, but it was that application process that got me. And it really didn't help with my name being Doolittle. I just didn't. I mean, it's kind of hard. But I would go to the place, and this was my level, was I would walk in there, and I'd tell him, I said, you don't need any help, do you? And he said, no, I don't need any help. And I'd walk out. I knew he wasn't going to hire me. And that was just That was where it was. See, there is a balance right here in this. There's a place for me to realize that, you know, with God's help, I can do something. But I'll never go outside that limit. However much he would help me, I'll return everything back to him. Because I tell you, it hurt me through life to have that. I can remember being right here, trustee, and somebody just, I mean, a simple little task during service of saying, Dan, would you go up to the thermostat and adjust it because it is too hot in here? I say, there ain't no way. I'll catch it after service. I'll adjust it then, because they put the thermostats up in the front of everybody. And I just would not, I will not get in front of somebody. I won't step up in front of somebody and they'd be able to see me. Well, you see, I've had to come a long way from there. But with that, there's a balance. There's a place for me to realize and always realize without God, I can do nothing. And it helps me when I look at these verses that says, Dan, it's from dust that you came. And when it's all said and done, you'll go back to dust when it's finished up. And I look at it as we go out into a cemetery, and you don't usually see a booklet hanging on the front that tells of all his accomplishments and how much money he made. Everybody has the date that they were born, the date that they died, because that's really about the only thing that's left that's important for that person. And for me to be able to realize that through life, because, you know, just in temporal things, I can, as a human, I can start feeling like, you know what, I have some abilities. And I'll just tell you some on some temporal things. A few years ago, Sister Velda Wisner didn't have her husband there with her to take care of things, and her brakes went out on her van. Well, you know, I can change brakes. I got a little bit of mechanical ability to me. So I told her, I said, I'll tell you what, you come over one evening, I'll get the parts for it. You can just go in the house and visit with Cheryl. It won't take me very long. I know how to do this. And so she did. She left the van out there in the garage, and so I went after it. And sure enough, it didn't take me very long. I had it finished. And I was so glad that I went and test drove it, because I had driven it before she brought it, when she first brought it to me, and it did. It was, the pads were worn off, and it was making a racket. But when I test drove it afterwards, it was making more racket than when she had brought it. And I said, oh, something's wrong here. Those of you that have mechanical ability probably don't think this can be done, but I'll tell you, it can be done. When I took it back apart, I found out that I had turned the rotors backwards. It has a piece of steel that's supposed to be on the outside that is mashed, and it's got something a little softer than steel that's supposed to rub against the rotor. Well, in my haste of knowing what I was doing, I spun them around backwards and had steel to steel when I tried to stop. Well, I was really glad I hadn't told her, look, it's fixed. Don't worry about it. It'll, you know, use things will get better. Noise will get better as you drive it a little bit. I'm so glad I didn't have her leave that, and one day she'd take it in and say, I just got to take it in and get somebody to check it. And they tell her what I had done. But, you know, those kind of things, I believe the Lord brings them into our life to help me to realize, Dan, don't ever get to thinking you're too high, because you're just a human. Humans can forget. I had another one just recently. You know, it takes humility, maybe for a guy, to pull out instructions on simple things, to read it before you start doing it. Because our dishwasher went out, and who needs instructions to put a dishwasher in? I mean, there's nothing to it. And so Cheryl was kind of watching me as I did it, and I had confidence. I mean, there's not that many things that you can mess up on. So I had it in place and ready to go when I looked up on the counter and saw that the cord was still laying up there. And there aren't cordless dishwashers. It just, and you know, all of a sudden your elevation of who you are and the things that I can do, it just kind of deflates. And those are temporal things. They can be so simple as when Heather was a small child, I decided, you know, every child needs those red wagons. And there's instruction booklets, even with a red wagon. And I did not need that. I mean, there's four wheels, there's a tongue, and that's about it. There's also those little nuts that you drive on when you're finished. And you need to be finished because they won't come back off. And so I put my four wheels on and drove the nuts on, and then realize, you know, the tongue hooks on behind those four wheel nuts. Well, I had to end up going to buy some more after I ripped those off. Just things in our life. Maybe yours are none of those, but I'd say you've had some. Things where the Lord would like to be able to tell us each one, hey, be careful. Don't, these verses that we're talking about, don't think more highly of yourself than you should think. And you know what? It's the mercy of the Lord that he will come to us, even in temporal things, because there will always be a place where I will need to humble myself. I have worked at the job that I'm at for 24 years. And you know, you feel like as you do that, I know this building. You ask me a question and I can give you the right answer. Well, we had a change of who our boss was, and most of the other managers that had been there, they would just say, I see you're doing a good job and don't have any questions for you. Just take care of it. But this one had had some mechanical experience before, which was good for me because I realized later then he could question me. And he came to me one day. We had a handicapped door that was shutting too soon. Handicapped people weren't able to go through it quick enough. And he asked me, he said, Dan, is there an adjustment on that to where you can keep it open longer? And I knew that door because I worked on it before. And I said, no, it's adjusted just as far as it can. There's no adjustment for that. It's fixed. And so, okay, well, we'll just have to live with that. But he came back later and he said, Dan, you got a screwdriver? He said, I'd like to go up there with you and let's see. Maybe there's an adjustment. Well, you know, that always kind of brings a little thought to you. No, wait a minute. He should know that I know what I'm doing. But we went to that, took the cover off, and I mean, right there, and it had written on it, you want to increase your time for this door to stay open? And he was real nice about it. He said, Dan, I think maybe if we turn this screw right here. And sure enough, that fixed it. And you know, those things, it don't matter if I worked there 24 years. There's places where I need to realize, hey, Dan, don't ever get to feeling like you're too high. Okay, those are temporal things, and I can get the cord put on the washing machine and those kind of things and move on. But you know what? It'll move down to my eternal soul, and I need to be real careful then, because I have got to be willing to make adjustments. And I look back on my life at places where, just like reading the instruction booklet, I know where I am. I know I'm right. And the Lord comes along years later in mercy and says, but Dan, you need to humble yourself. You know what? Just as we have heard last night in the messages, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You know what? That comes down. That's not just to the sinner man. That's to each of us with a desire to make heaven our home. He sets before me life and death. Dan, we're coming up to a crossroads right here. You're either going to have to humble yourself or you're going to start losing progress. And I am so thankful today that I did. Can I say I've attained? Oh, no. Because you know what? Every day the Lord would like to bring places to remind us, Dan, this is who you are. This is who you would be if you don't keep humbling yourself before me. There is a verse in 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. It says, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if thou didst receive it, why do you glory? And I know that's talking about someone that has some spiritual understanding and has really made ground, good ground spiritually. But you know what? We could bring that down to every one of us today. What do we have that we did not receive? Just about the time I start feeling like, you know what, I am real healthy today. You know, you can come down with a virus, with the flu, and in 24 hours' time, you think, I may not make it out of this one. Your strength. In the morning time, I could be at work and feeling strong. I can take care of any problem. And that evening, I can hardly raise my head out of the bed. And I believe those are times that the Lord would like to remind us each one, you know what? You have no control, really, over your life. It is amazing to me what the Lord has done for Sister Patricia, because I've heard her the times when she would try to sing and do that wheezing of trying to draw in air. You know what, folks? Every one of us are in that condition if the Lord says, I'll withhold the next breath. You know what? The Lord is so good to us. He gives us life and breath in all things. And what it needs to do to me is cause me to humble myself. In Isaiah, there are some verses that I look at. You know, the Lord set the rules for this. He could have said, I tell you what, you reach the level that you've got $1 million, and I'll talk to you. But other than that, don't come around. But instead, what was his instruction for us? I was looking in Isaiah 57 and 15. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and an humble spirit. Here's the one that I'll dwell with. To the one that realizes what we've been talking about up today. Lord, I couldn't draw my next breath if you didn't give it to me. I need your help. To him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And then there's another one in Isaiah 66, in the first verse. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my words. I was thinking about Solomon. It says there was none wiser than him before or after. And when the Queen of Sheba came to visit him, she had questions to ask him, trying to search out this knowledge that he had. And as I would read where she asked him the questions, he had the answers for. But there was something that she was very impressed with. When she saw what he had, and then she saw how he approached the worship place of the Lord, I believe what impressed her was he didn't go as an equal. He did not, at that time, he did not go that I'm the wisest man there ever was, and I can walk up to the Lord just better than anybody else can do. I believe she saw something in how he approached the God of heaven. We get a glimpse of that when he built the temple. And when he was going to dedicate it to the Lord, he could have said, Lord, you ought to be pretty happy that I'm the one to do it. Did he do that? Uh-uh. He said in 2 Chronicles 6 and 18 to 19, will God in very deed dwell with men on earth? The heavens cannot contain thee. You know, it would have been so good if Solomon had been able to keep that vision of who God was and who he was. But for him and for each of us today, I can have it today. But you know what? I've got to humble myself tomorrow and the next day and every day from here on out. It's pretty easy for me to humble myself before the Lord when times are tough. I need his help. Things have gone all wrong for me. But when things are going well and I feel like I can make it on my own, I need at that same time realize, Lord, even though things are going well for me, my next breath is in your hands. I need to humble myself before you. Psalms 138 and 6, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. There is a song, and I'd like for us to sing it, that gives me a reminder of always being humble before the Lord. I'd like for you to sing it with me. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, Remind me, dear Lord. And we each one need that reminder on a regular basis from the Lord. Here's a reminder in Psalms 100. I'd like to look at that verse. It says, second verse, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And I can say that verse, and I say, well, sure he did. But you know, in my everyday living, if I'm not careful, because I like to read the stories of men that have come into this country and had nothing and worked their way up. I like the story of Sam Walton, just an ordinary man and seemed to stay an ordinary man through it. It's hard for a lot of people to do that. When they have arrived at wealth and they've been able to attain it, just like with Nebuchadnezzar, wouldn't it have been something for Nebuchadnezzar to be able to, the Lord had special favor on him to humble him so that he would remember who God was. But you remember the reminder that came to Nebuchadnezzar after he had the dream and it was told to him. And Daniel told him, said, I tell you what, if you will humble yourself before the Lord and make some changes, it's possible this won't happen. And in a year, he forgot it. Stood out on his porch and looked out over all the things he had and said, is this not this great Babylon that I have been able to build with my own hands? And you know what? We won't say that to each other. But I want to tell you, the devil would love to bring it to us that, you know what, you've got some things that you've been able to do in your life. You know, the Lord spent some time with him to bring him down to where you read there in Daniel, when he came back into the kingdom again, he was a different man. He said, this Lord is able to raise people and he's able to abase people. He's able to be able to do with them. There is another verse in Proverbs 6 and 16. It says, there are six things that God hates. Seven are abomination to him. And you would think usually when you start out listing things, you name the greatest first. If he did that, then the greatest one is a proud look. He hates a proud look. Why is that? Because I think Psalms 103 and 14 should go right along with that. He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are just dust. And for me to ever come to a point that I have pride in my life about what I have been able to accomplish, it has him remembering where I came from. He remembers my frame, that I am just dust. James 4 and 6 through 10 talks about God resists the proud, but he'll give grace to the humble. Scripture after scripture reminds us, reminds me, Dan, be careful on your better days when things are going well, that you not allow it to cause you to feel like you have been able to attain anywhere, because it all comes from the Lord. There's another verse, 1 Peter in the 5th chapter. Let everyone be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, wrapped up, all of me hidden behind it, clothed with humility, because God resisteth the proud and he giveth grace to the humble. You remember where David, when Shimei, David's running for his life, his son is after him. And here comes a man, Shimei, throwing dust and stones and cursing him. And he is still the king. You remember when those around him said, tell you what, if you just give me permission, I'll go over there and I'll take his head off and we won't have this problem anymore. I thought about what David came back with. He could have easily said, let's stop this problem right here. But he saw farther than that. He realized, you know what? There's a place where the Lord can humble, and there's a place where the Lord can lift back up again. And what he was saying was, maybe the Lord has said, curse David. Would the Lord have said, curse David? The Lord allows men to ride over our heads. And possibly some of that cause is to help bring me to a place where I realize who I am before the Lord. It's possible that the Lord said, curse David. And he said, in the 12th verse, maybe the Lord will look on my affliction and he'll requite me good for this cursing. A place where he humbled himself down when he was the king and could have said, I can't do much about my son right now, but I can take care of this guy and get him out of the way. But instead, he was able to see through it. You know what? The Lord's humbling me this day for a reason. Job, when he had so many temporal things and blessings from the Lord, and when the Lord came to Satan and said, have you considered my servant Job? When those troubles came into his life, we don't see Job saying, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll remember that group that came over and got my camels. I'll have me some folks one of these days and we'll go back and get even again. But instead, he finished it all when everything was gone. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then more humbling came after that. When the Lord came back to Satan and said, you saw what he did when you took away his goods. And the devil said, but I understand him, skin for skin. All that a man hath, he'll give it for his life. And the Lord allowed him. And I love that story because to the person that has his hand in the Lord's, the devil cannot cross an area unless the Lord allows it. So the things that come your way that humbles you, realize that the Lord has power over that. He allows it only to go so far. So for us today, for me today, I want to learn more about humility in my own life. It says, be clothed with humility. What's the purpose for that? I thought about that song, the verse of the song that says, so when the world looks upon you, nothing but Christ is in view. They are used to people that will rise up to defend who they are. They are not used to people that will say, I put this in the Lord's hands and allow him to do with it what he wants. We're living in a time where it could cause your life to be extended if you'll learn to humble yourself. Just recently in Oklahoma City, more than once, we have had examples of road rage where somebody, just because they turn too quick in front of somebody else, it starts something to where this person has got to have revenge. You know, there's a verse that says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. I have thought about it after it was finished. And the person in the vehicle that caused the problem could have stopped it all by saying, you know what, I am sorry, I did not mean to do it. But instead, he swole up with the other one and a life was lost because of it. Cannot turn those things around. To us, it would be very well for us to learn, a soft answer turneth away wrath, grievous words stir up anger. It's all a part of the humility that the Lord would like for us to be able to have. There's another verse in Philippians 2 and 3, where in the second chapter of Philippians, he's telling us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And I don't think that is talking about the inferiority complex that I can't do it, so you go do it. I wouldn't do anything. No, it is in honor, preferring one another, to be able to say, you know what? If nobody else is willing to do it, I'd do it, but I prefer somebody else to be able to do it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, the example that is given to me today for humility. He took upon him the form of a servant. He humbled himself. The times where he could have had much to say at his trial, there were times where he said he answered them not a word. Did not have anything to say back in his defense. I thought about Joseph. Joseph must have gotten a hold to something in his own life when so many wrongs came to him. But he remembered this purpose way back there that the Lord had said, I'm going to bring you to this place. There is a place that I have for you. But you know, Joseph lost 13 years of his life before he came to that place. And we never see him losing sight of, I just put myself in the hands of the Lord. I thought this was the way it was going. When he's in jail now because of Potiphar's wife, you never see him saying, I tell you what, this is it. I'm making a book right now. There's some people that I'm going to have to deal with when I get out of here. But instead, he took that. You remember when he started, oh, okay, I'm here in jail. I'll do what I can to help others. And when the two men were put in jail, His purpose is, what can I do to lighten their loads? Well, by telling the truth, the one man is going to be put to death. But the other one, you remember when he's returning back, he just asked him, would you remember me when you get back there? Put in a good word for me. And it was a long period of time before he ever remembered it again. And yet, Joseph just put all that in the hands of the Lord. My life is in his hands. For each of us today, we may not have those similar experiences, but I tell you, we're going to have some things come into our life. And it's going to be so valuable for me to be able to realize the hand of the Lord in my life working when he's humbling me because of things that are happening. I was thinking about when Moses came to Pharaoh, one after another, plague came on him. Yeah. Till one day, Pharaoh's servants came to Pharaoh and they said, look, won't you humble yourself? Won't you let them go? Can't you see that Egypt is destroyed? We've had 9 plagues or whatever already, and this place is a wreck. Won't you humble yourself? When his own servants were saying it. And I look in my own life, choices that we each one have to make, where it would be well for home, for families, for me, humble myself. Things can be a wreck if I don't. And like Pharaoh, just keep on plowing right on through to the point I'm not going to stop for anything. I see the Red Sea opening. I'm going after them to the place that everything can be destroyed at the end of it. In our life, that same thing can happen. In our nation, that same thing can happen. And yet the call comes from the Lord in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. If ever there was a verse that applies to America today, that verse does. He talked about if just before that, he talked about when troubles are coming on the land, when things are destroying your land. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. I believe that is dealing with America today. And you know what? We can't do anything about other people, but I can do something about myself. I can humble myself before the Lord. There's a song that I'd like for us to close with. We've all sung it before. Number 298. It says, if thou wouldst have the dear Savior from heaven walk by thy side. And with singing this first verse, I think about those verses. Thus saith the high and lofty one, which inhabiteth eternity. Yeah. I'll dwell with the humble one. If thou wouldst have the dear Savior from heaven walk by thy side from the morn to the even, there's a rule that each day you must follow. Humble thyself to walk with God. Humble thyself and the Lord will draw near thee. Humble thyself, his presence shall cheer thee. He will not walk with the proud or the scornful. Humble thyself to walk with God. I want to be able to have that working in my life. I desire your prayers.